Shores, El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
You know, the doctors told us that, you know, even if they had done surgery on, he would have died.
I find it really surprising that on the first day of the general, Meg Whitman.
Oh, you know what? I can't even hear anything. I can't even open this radio show. I can't hear a damn thing. I can't listen to that music the way it is. I can't listen to that audio the way it is. I can't stand it.
What do you want to do?
I'd like to take every computer in this studio and throw it into the ocean. Did you hear that? The level on that is all over the floor. That's like, I don't even know what that's supposed to be. I can't even hear myself think. Then this audio I can barely hear here.
We were not.
I am gay.
Hang in there, honey.
What is that? You were what?
We were not.
I am gay.
Okay, thanks. 877-876-PHIL, a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Welcome to our program, such as it is. Rumors swirling that Sarah Palin got breast implants. They're swirling. And we'll talk about it tonight here on the world. I mean, it's going to drive me to the point of drink. And I quit drinking. I'm going back.
You might enjoy it more this time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Maybe. Plus, we will tell you about the top 10 macho movies. 877-876-PHIL. Affiliate spotlight tonight in Salt Lake City, the great Salt Lake City, and the great KKAT 860 AM. And Hot Springs, Arkansas, KBHS 1420. Thank you all for being a part of the Phil Hendry Radio Show. Margaret Gray is going to jump on the line with us here, and we are going to talk a little bit about Sarah Palin and her breast implants. We had scheduled earlier Lloyd Bonafide on the seafood coming out of the Gulf. Unfortunately, he was not able to make it. But Margaret writes the nationally syndicated column, A Little Bird Told Me, which you will see reprinted on our website. And if you go to our website right now, philhendryshow.com, you'll also see live streaming video of our show. And we welcome Margaret from Santa Monica tonight. Margaret, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, Phil. I think I'm doing a little bit better than Sarah Palin is tonight.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know, she's taking some hits. She's taking a few public relations hits with this this image problem that she's got. I don't know whether... I have to tell you, I have seen the photographs, and they are very, very glaringly different. There's no question. So, the public relations hits that she takes, if the perception is there that this woman has had breast implants, I have to tell you, it's Sarah Palin's, and it is Sarah Palin's alone to deal with. Because it's sort of, you know, it's as... As my father used to say, you know, you made the bed, you have to sleep in it. So we'll see how this plays with a conservative base, but it is obvious to me that Sarah Palin has had some kind of breast implant work.
All right. Well, it's obvious to you that she's had breast implant work. Is this bad?
Well, I think it is bad from the standpoint of the people that support her. I think that the people that support Sarah Palin are conservative people. They are very religious people. And the idea of breast implants, obviously calls to mind some kind of a sexual vanity, the willingness or the desire to attract the eyes of men. I am not saying that that's what Sarah Palin wants to do.
Well, it sounds a little bit like that, because if you say that this isn't going to play well the conservative base, and...
No, I'm saying that she may find some other way of explaining this. But I'll tell you something, Phil. Sarah Palin, with these breast implants, will have to explain it eventually. If I were her, I would say that I had it done because I had... And this is risky. But I would say that it was reconstructive, that she had breast cancer, that it's one of the reasons why she quit as governor.
And you're asking her to lie?
I think she has to in this situation. I don't think that the conservative base is going to accept a woman who is looking to enhance her sexual image by getting these breasts that are much, much larger, Phil, than she had. And I don't know. I sent you the story.
All right, I'm looking at the photograph right now. Lauren Beckham Falcons. This is two pictures of Sarah Palin.
Now, on the left, you'll see her in a red top.
Yes, I see that.
Now, on the right is a recent, I think there was a recent tennis tournament she was attending.
Well, on the right, yeah, significantly, she has a significantly larger chest. However, before I say anything, isn't the contour of a woman's figure, can't that be also shaped or enhanced by the kind of undergarment that she wears, by the kind of brassiere that she wears? You know.
Well, still, I don't know a bra yet that can add inches to your bust line.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, anybody that's ever seen a 1950s movie saw those ridiculous-looking conical brassieres the women wore in those days, which I'm sure didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't think that those brassieres. Everyone knew, I think, that those brassieres were obviously intended to give some kind of almost an otherworldly look to a woman's figure. There's no one around that thought that a woman's breasts are shaped like that, like they're two points at the end of a triangle or a pyramid.
But the fact is that they did enhance the figure of a woman to a degree. So I'm just asking, isn't there? Do you know of any brassiere? Are you telling me no, there isn't such a thing?
I don't know of any brassiere that can make a woman who was I'm trying to be kind, Phil, but she was basically just a couple Frank said, you know, a couple of BBs on a billiard table or however, you know.
Well, that's a little childish.
Well, what I'm saying is the woman was flat. And she went from being really just stark flat to having a very, very voluptuous upper body. Now, again, Sarah Palin can play it any way she wants, but if she admits to having had breast implant surgery, she is going to be admitting to the fact that she was looking to enhance her sexual, physical persona. That says only one thing. I want men looking at me, and I want men other than my husband looking at me.
Come on. Are you really, really seriously telling me? I hear women talking all the time about why they have this kind of surgery.
No, Phil, this is the conservative Sarah Palin, the mother, the mom, the wife, the soccer mom, the hockey mom. This woman has been trying to build this persona for a long time. Why is she doing this now?
Exactly. Why is she doing this now?
Because she realizes she needs that kickstart for her presidential campaign. And I think that people are going to react negatively.
Well, would she not? In other words, wouldn't Sarah Palin know that people are going to react negatively seeing these large breasts on her and her conservative base, as you say, these people who consider it a sin, wouldn't she be aware of the fact that they would react that way?
I think the old Sarah Palin, who was governor of Alaska, would have reacted that way. I think she would have known. I think the new one that was in the big city, she went down to New York, she went down to Washington, she was in all of the major metropolitan and population centers of the United States, and I think she lost touch with the conservative base. She is way out of touch. The way to bring this back is to say it's reconstructive.
To, in other words, lie to her constituents and say she had breast cancer, you're going to have to come up with a doctor.
That is the only way a woman can enhance her breasts. Literally, Phil, have larger breasts and have other women not hate you. And that's the other problem she's going to have. A lot of women are going to hate her, and they're going to hate her for a long time. They already have a problem with her looks because she is so attractive. Give her these big breasts, and I'm telling you, Phil, it is going to be a bitch fest, as Frank likes to call it, the likes of which, you know.
I think so. I really do.
Well, all right. So Sarah Palin, I disagree. I don't think that for one minute if she has indeed enhanced her breasts, Palin's newfound perkiness, quoting from the Boston, from the Huffington Post, as well as the Boston Herald article, Palin's newfound perkiness, but not her politics, bumped Heidi Montag and implants off the most Googled list. Sarah Palin sure looks like she was trotting out some new work at the horse races, reported the political blog Wonkette. After getting a tip on the website's Facebook feed, Gawker.com made similar reports. So Sarah Palin, if she's had new breast implant surgery, it's going to hurt her with a conservative base because they're going to see that as her sexualizing herself. Are you saying you don't think she did that to attract other men?
No, I don't think so. I think she did it because she thinks her audience, the voters and the people that support her, are not going to notice it. I think she wants to look a little hotter, and I think it's all about getting elected. I think she wants to look a little hotter. I think she, yes, she doesn't mind the glances of men, but I don't think it has anything really to do with attracting other men that much. I think it has more to do with wanting to be elected and so attracting that male vote, because she knows a lot of women hate her guts. And I'm saying it very straight, Phil. A lot of women hate her guts.
All right.
And I think she needs to realize that she's looking for the male vote, and as such, she gets the breast implant. The Christian base will rebel against it because they think it's her being very loose, sexualizing in a very loose way, intimating, casting her eyes about, I don't know, however you want to call it. She looks loose. She looks like she's on the boulevard.
All right. Well, I hear what you're saying, and you believe that her conservative base is going to interpret it that way, her conservative support, I should say. Sarah Palin getting breast implants, if in point of fact that's true. Margaret Gray is saying that in order for her to survive politically, she's going to have to tell people she's had mastectomies, and that's reconstructive surgery, because her conservative supporters will never accept her having breast implants. 877-876-PHIL. If you're a Sarah Palin supporter, and you know, it was an interesting comment that Margaret made there, that Sarah Palin is not particularly strong among women because a lot of women, quote, hate her guts. And so she's going for the male vote with these new breasts. 877-876-PHIL. If you're a Sarah Palin supporter, is this going to hurt? Is this going to hurt her support with you? 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Not only is Margaret Gray on the line now, but I thought we'd get Lloyd Bonafide on. You were going to be talking to us, Lloyd, about the Gulf and the fish problems there.
That was something I was hoping I could talk to your audience about, that because we do support the fisheries, as you know.
Well, but I know, but we want to get a little bit of the Sarah Palin discussion going. Do you agree? And Margaret, you're there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Do you agree with her when we talk about the Sarah Palin breast implants?
Well, I didn't hear the lady's comments. I will tell you that Sarah Palin is I think she's a wonderful candidate. I think she was a wonderful candidate for the vice presidency. I think that the fact that she went out and got these... The boob, you said it was an installation.
No, it's not called an installation. It is a breast. Can you tell?
It's a breast implant, sir.
The breast implant, I think, is a very unfortunate, because it sends the message to young women and to other women as well that this is what you've got to do to get a man interested. I am a man. I was interested in Sarah Palin long before she went out and got the this work done, you know.
Go ahead.
I would say that there is a disconnect, I guess is the word, because what we're talking about here, Phil, is really two different things. Sarah Palin is a very classy woman, there's no doubt. I am a Democrat. I don't support her from that standpoint. But I do say that she is a woman of great class, I think she is making a mistake here with her conservative base. And I think that this man is... You agree with me, don't you, sir?
Yes. What is your name?
My name is Margaret Gray.
This is Margaret Gray, Lloyd. Okay.
All right, Margaret. Yes, I do agree. I think that Sarah Palin was a very attractive candidate and then decided that she needed to do this. I have counseled young women ever since I left the Navy and before I got married on what it means when you're trying to make a living among men. And Sarah Palin is going down that road. Now, I know she's running for a political office. But to get her, get those breasts engorged into the...
Well, it's not enlarged.
It's called enlarged, Lloyd. It's not engorged. All right.
To get them enlarged is to say that she wants to play it real loose with the voters. And when I look at Sarah Palin now, and all I get is aroused as opposed to inspired, I feel disappointed.
Or do you get aroused when you see Sarah Palin?
Well, that to me, that's dangerous.
Yes, I do. And I think that that is a very telling reminder to Sarah Palin that to go out and have a breast enlargement, as she did, and she takes a 78-year-old man like me who goes from being inspired and interested in what she has to say to aroused when I see her. She's blowing it in my opinion.
Well, would you vote for her still?
That is the key, yes. Yeah. Would you vote for her?
Yes, I'd vote for her.
Then it doesn't matter whether you're inspired.
But I want to vote for her for the right things. I don't want to feel cheap and dirty when I vote for her. I want to vote for her because I'm inspired by her.
Well, Bill.
Go ahead, Margaret.
Why don't you vote for her for the good things? For the reasons that you were talking about.
I did.
Why don't you vote for this woman for the right reasons? Why do you vote for her for the reasons you're talking about?
Well, because I when I go into the voting booth and punch the hole is what I meant to say. The first thing that I'm going to think of when I think of Sarah Palin are those. You know, I was only 5 years in the Navy, but I still fall back on terms like Hogan. And I apologize.
But you're talking about her breasts.
You're talking breasts. You don't have to go back to Hogan's. You understand?
But that's what happens. And when you go into a voting booth, the most sacred right any American has, and you think, I'm going to punch the hole for Sarah Palin, and all I can think about are those. Well, you know what I'm talking about. I know that I'm cheap and dirty. And I wish that she would reconsider and have those uninstalled.
You don't have them installed, but...
Well, Margaret, this goes to what you were talking about. We're talking to this gentleman. That this is a guy that's going to go... He's going to push past his reluctance to vote for her because of... He sees that what she's done is have a breast enhancement surgical procedure to entice male voters. He doesn't like it. He's going to vote for her anyway, but he feels cheap and dirty. So, but in the end, she's going to get the votes.
In the end, she will get the votes, exactly, Phil. And I think that that is... I think that that was really what Sarah Palin's team banked on. I think that they were willing to risk alienating a lot of very hardcore Christians, and they went for more of the urban vote, more of the city vote, more of the male vote. And these are people that are going to say, she's very attractive. I like what she has to say. I was on the fence about her, but you know what? I really like, I think she's beautiful. Or I think,
if they like the hook.
Let me just say this. that they like her figure.
All right, all right. So we've got Margaret Gray there and Lloyd Bonafide talking about Sarah Palin with these with the breast job. That in the end, even though the breasts will alienate fundamentalist Christian voters, they will actually pick up more male voters. In the end, they may alienate females, but they will get more men voting for her. 877-876, Phil, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Seven eight seven six. Phil, we're on a song. You know, as I said, we were doing a little bit of maintenance. If you joined us during our pre-show, and we do a video pre-show as well as the regular video for our show, you saw Elaine sitting here, who's my engineer, and
yeah, a lot of people think she's hot too.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, man. Because I don't have guys checking in to say that she's hot. I'm glad she's here because she can fix stuff. You know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, a lot of people think she's hot.
Well, that's great. She's hot. She's married. That's how hot she is.
Well,
but I noticed the story here, and I don't know, probably people have been laying opinions out about this, but this slut, this woman that was married to this Gary Coleman.
Yeah, she saw a picture of the guy's dead.
Is he dead now, or is he still sucking air?
I don't know, man. It's the cover of the Globe. Gary Coleman, it was murder. Last photo. Wife Shannon sobs. I didn't push him. Who killed him and why? I don't even blame the Globe. I don't know who I blame, but here is the most private moment, they say, of a person's life, other than maybe going to the bathroom, being born, and having sex, okay? Is dying. And this guy's picture is on the cover of the Globe with the wife posing. What a whore. Shocking deathbed photo of late former child star Gary Coleman taken just hours before his death was released on Wednesday on the cover of Globe magazine with the actor's ex-wife Shannon Price posing by his side. And she was posing, too. She's standing there staring at the camera, giving kind of a, I don't know, bemused look. Maybe there wasn't any money. Maybe they needed the bread. Maybe Gary said, it's cool. You know what you got to do is take my picture. If I'm on my way out. Dion Mial, the executor of Coleman's will, accused Price, 24, of selling the morbid image to the Globe, who put it on their cover with a headline, it was murder. Just like they could put any headline they wanted to, you know.
Well, how do they know it was murder?
It doesn't matter, man. They don't know it was murder. They just put something there. I mean, they're going to put up there, Gary Coleman dead.
Well, but they could say that she murdered him or something.
They ain't going to say that.
Why?
Because she sold them the pictures. She sold them the pictures. She sold them the pictures. Why is she... by the way, the lady that sold us the pictures, she murdered him.
You an idiot?
Oh.
Globe parent company American Media confirmed it purchased... She murdered him.
Well, you said it didn't put anything there.
They could say that he got shot in a bank robbery.
He got shot in a bank robbery.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because you said they can put anything there. Nobody cares. It's all about a picture of a man dead. If all they want to see a little midget man dead, then...
Don't use that word midget. I've told you guys.
Why not?
Because it's offensive.
Well, what I'm saying is if they don't care, they could say Gary Coleman shot up in a bank, you know, in a bank heist or something.
Gary Coleman shot up in a bank heist. Well, now that's a headline I think would grab them.
Well, okay, so you're saying it would matter.
Well, look, man, saying that Gary Coleman was shot up on a bank heist and everybody knew he was sick, that's one thing. To say it was murder, that makes people guess because, well, gee, I knew he was sick. I didn't know maybe it was murder. So it's within the realm of possibility, shot up in a bank heist.
You're the guy that said it didn't matter.
Well, it almost doesn't matter. Globe's parent company, American Media, confirmed it purchased the picture. However, spokesperson Samantha Trenck would not disclose the price paid or who sold the photo, according to CNN.com. A Utah judge appointed Dion Mial, Coleman's longtime friend and former manager, as special administrator of the late actor's estate, while the will goes through the probate process. A will signed in 1999 named Mr. Mial as the executor. Now, he was not able to stop Globe magazine from publishing the deathbed image, which he accused Price of peddling to tabloids in an ongoing desperate attempt to profit from the death of this man. Good God. She must need the bread, you know.
Well, how come you say that? You said she's a whore.
Well, even whores need money, okay?
Yeah, but are you saying she's like a, feel sorry for her?
No, he's saying she's a whore and she's bad.
No, I'm trying to find a something. In other words, what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to find something redeeming about the woman's action. Maybe she's desperately in need of the money. You know,
maybe she's just a whore. Maybe she doesn't understand about how being a whore is.
What does that mean?
Like, she doesn't know how bad it is?
Well,
what are you talking about, man?
She's being a whore, but she doesn't know people are going to hate her.
Well, she's got to be the dumbest broad that ever walked the face of the earth. I don't know, man. I mean, how, you know, here, I'll sell you the photos of this guy on his deathbed. I think this chick is it either she needs the bread or she's so in love with money. Look, there's a lot of reasons why you might marry a guy like Gary Coleman. You love him. You feel sorry for him and want to protect him, or you want to exploit your relationship with him. He's a famous man. Now, it's probably easier to marry a guy like Gary Coleman than it would be to marry somebody like, I don't know, Ashton Kutcher or something like that.
Why?
Well, because Ashton Kutcher's already married.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what do you mean?
I mean, in other words, well, even if he was single, it would probably be a lot tougher to marry that guy because he's got all these chicks who probably want to marry him, right? Whereas with the Gary Coleman, the poor little guy, I mean, I don't know how many people, wanted to marry him.
You just called him a little guy, but you don't want us to use Midge.
Midge? I said don't use midget. Yeah, it's offensive.
You call him little.
Yeah, but little people don't mind that.
Little people don't mind that. But I don't even think he was a little person. I think he was just like a small man. Anyway, make a long story short, you think a jockey's a midget?
Yeah.
You think jockeys are midgets?
Yeah.
Aren't they?
No, they are not. Jockeys are just small men.
Well, they're not, like, bit with a head the size of their body.
Oh, you stop, man. Just don't use that word. A statement issued by Price's press rep on Monday did not deny Mial's accusation, but did say she needed money because she had helped Mial pay for a lawyer. Well, that's what she's going to claim, too. Although Coleman and Price, 24, were legally divorced at the time of his death, it was confirmed by Utah Valley Regional Medical Center that Price was granted legal rights by the actor to make medical decisions on his behalf. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, God. Sad, sad, sad. All right, we got some audio to listen to here. Speaking with TMZ, Gary Coleman's ex-wife, Shannon Price, explains why she pulled the plug on Gary Coleman.
You know, the doctors told us that, you know, even if they had done surgery on him, he would have died. He would have bled to death during the surgery. And they said even if they did take a chunk out of his brain, he would not be the same. He would be basically like Muhammad Ali. He wouldn't be, you know.
What's wrong with that?
And, yeah, I mean, he would have died sooner or later anyway from that. Because it's so, the brain, you know, it's so traumatic.
Muhammad Ali doing all right.
Muhammad Ali may not be, you know, Muhammad Ali's probably sharper in the brain than Joe Frazier. He can't walk. He doesn't look too good when he's talking.
What are you talking about, Muhammad Ali?
Muhammad Ali's got, like, Parkinson's, really bad, I think. Anyway, here Shannon Price says she doesn't want to be judged for her decision on ending life support.
I don't want people to be so hard on me thinking that, you know, I had to pull the plug too early. He wouldn't have made it anyway. His heart would have just given out. And I don't want people to sit there and think I'm a bitch and that I didn't care about him. But you know, be in my situation. I mean, look what happened with Terri Schiavo. I always think of her case, always when it comes to this. I mean, Gary was gone. His eyes were dilated. We get it.
Nobody's going to hate you for that, okay? And, you know, the fact that you care about what people think, that's, you know, what people are talking about right now is you posing with that photograph, you idiot. You don't want people to be hard on you on the life support thing, man. You missed your guess on this one, sweetie. In an interview with ABC News, Price says life will be hard without Gary, but the money helps.
You know, we've been struggling a lot with financial stuff, but now that Gary's gone, it's a little bit more difficult. I just hope Gary's happy and, you know, he's in a better place and he's not suffering anymore, you know, with all the health issues he's had over the years. I'm just happy that, you know, he's finally peaceful and at rest. We have discussed about death a few times and he said it would be very unfair if he left me all of a sudden. And I mean,
you like that, man.
I really
unfair
respect
of him.
That, you know, because I loved him and he loved me and, you know, we just can't live without each other.
She sounds very understanding.
Are you nuts? Are you listening to her?
Man, she sounds like the most heartless bitch that the world had ever seen. Why?
Are you kidding me? She's sitting there saying, oh, boy, you know, life's going to be tough without Gary. But he did tell me, you know, he was really sorry. This chick is talking about herself, how she needs this and she needs that. She needs something else. And Gary, this, and it's going to be difficult. I don't want anybody to judge me because I pulled the plug on Gary. And financially, it's going to be tough. And Gary said, you know, he's really sorry. Anyway, I don't know how much money the Globe paid her, but I'll bet you anything they stuck her. They probably paid her maybe a few hundred grand, if that.
That's a lot of money, though. That's a few fishing trips, as far as I know.
Yeah, that's a few grocery runs.
Oh, that's bullcrap, man. Of course, she's a young woman, so she'll find a way to make it through life. But a few hundred grand, it ain't going to go that far. As a matter of fact, a few hundred grand these days in America, in the world, man, that won't buy you. That doesn't turn on the water, man, for a lot of people. All right, coming up, there's a Florida school dismissing a teacher for, quote, fornication. I guess that's she had sex on the job. Or not. And also, the Gulf, man, the Gulf, the Gulf, the Gulf. Boy, the people there are pissed off about BP, the claims process. This whole thing is a real cluster, you know what. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we have an interesting conversation we're going to have with Jack Armstrong. Jackson Armstrong, who is the... Jack Armstrong, I should say. Jackson Armstrong was the... he was a radio host back in the 70s that I remember listening to in Buffalo. No, Jack Armstrong is a liberal blogger. He's going to join us next hour to talk about Iran, Barack Obama, Iraq, and George Bush. Joining us right now is Chris Norton, a telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California. And also a part-time adult film actor. He has been involved in some adult film productions as a producer, and he joins us on our newsmaker line. This disorder, have you heard of this, Chris? It's called sexomnia.
Yes, sir, I have.
You've heard of it?
Yes, sir. And as a matter of fact, it's something that I did experience as I, you know, telling your screener.
Okay. A disorder known as sexomnia, in which people initiate some form of sexual activity while asleep, may be more common than previously thought in those with sleep disorders, according to a new study. Almost 8% of 832 patients studied at a sleep disorder center reported bouts of sexomnia. That is, having initiated sexual activity with a bed partner while asleep, and the prevalence of the behavior was 3 times more common in men than women. You say you experienced sexomnia.
Well, yes, sir, I did. Because, first of all, I do have a lot of sexual energy, which...
You have what? I'm sorry?
I have a lot of sexual energy.
And, okay.
And the people at the sleep disorder clinic that I went to UCLA, said that the sexuality that, you know, is inside of me that I need to express comes out in my sleep. So I have so much sexual energy that it needs to come out. And it not all come out during the daytime when I'm awake. So a lot of sex has to come out when I'm asleep.
And well, what are we talking about here? A motor sensory thing?
Yeah, the doctor said it was part of the motor, you know, of your motor, the part of you that's a motor, but...
Well, it's a part of the brain, the motor sensory part of the brain.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the doctors told you that this causes your sexual energy, causes you to have this sleep disorder.
Well, the reason why I said that is because in me, I have not only do I have the sexomnia, but I also have a sleepwalking disorder. So in me, it manifests in the fact that I, at least on 2 occasions, was sleepwalking and then had sexomnia.
You were sleepwalking, meaning what? Did you walk into someone else's room?
Yes, sir, that's correct. It was actually on a camping trip. This is part of a group of us who are sort of we hang out together. We met over the Rusty Pelican, which is a bar that a lot of us like to go to in Redondo Beach. We decided we'd go on a camp trip down the Colorado River, And
I'm having a hard time. The Colorado River?
Yes, sir, the Colorado River.
Okay.
And I was then, you know, I came down with Cezomnia. And that was when I, you know, initially found out about it because my best friend, you know, I woke up, my best friend had, you know, dragged me by one of my leg and was dragging me out to the river and had been basically hitting me with a, like a, not a tire iron, it wasn't a tire iron, but I was going to say it was hitting me with a, some kind of a metal rod. I think it was like a surf rod.
Your friend was hitting you with a surf. So what happened? Did you have this sleepwalking?
Yes, sir.
And you went into somebody else's tent?
Yes, sir. And was having sex.
You were having sex with another person?
That's correct, sir. Yes, sir.
And it was this best friend of yours. Who was it? His wife?
Yes, sir. It was. Yes, sir. It was. I'm very ashamed of it, and I told him that he didn't understand that I had sex on you. And he, when I woke up, he had grabbed me by my leg and was dragging me. I was fully nude. I mean, I knew I was fully nude because I was very much, I was injured insofar as he was dragging me face down and I was nude. So you can imagine what that was like. And was also hitting me with like a part of a surf rod or something that, a hubcap or something. I don't know what it was.
Well, he was hitting with a metal object, so he attacked you. Now, when he found out that you had this sleep disorder, what did he say?
Well, he was very apologetic to me. He apologized. And
did you apologize to him? I'm just curious, because if you have something called sexomnia, where you are unconscious,
right?
Did you apologize to him for having sex with his wife? And what did his wife say?
Well, his wife was... I think she had sexomnia, too, and I told him. And
she had sexomnia, too. How do you figure that?
Because she didn't... When she woke up, she said she was on... You know, she didn't know. And she said, why are you beating him up and where am I, you know? And she's all like that. And he said, he's on set. And she says, I know, but I know it was with me and we both had sexomnia. She didn't know it was sexomnia.
Oh, wait, hold on for a minute. You had sex with this best friend's wife because you have this sexomnia, which is walking in your sleep.
Yes, sir.
And then this sexual activity. Now, the wife that you had sex with, she wasn't assaulted, she didn't feel, she said she had sexomnia too?
When I told her that I had sexomnia, she said that must be what I've got because I don't remember having sex. And my husband asked me, did I want to have sex? And I said, not that I know of. And
Who's talking?
The wife. Because when he came in, she was, and I don't want to say, but she was on her knees and her hands. And
wait a minute. Is she saying that she was asleep?
Yes, sir.
And she's on her hands and knees?
Yes, sir, because that's what sexomnia. You're having sex in your sleep.
And it just so happens that the two of you had sexomnia at the same time.
Well, Mr. Henry, you know, you can make it sound like I'm lying. But
no, I'm not. I'm asking what the odds are. You know, and here's a guy, a husband walks in and sees his wife and you. Now you, he grabs by the leg and starts beating you with a hubcap or a crowbar or whatever he had, dragging you out toward the river. She claims that she, and you said to him you had sexomnia, but you didn't know you had sexomnia then. You had to go to a doctor, right?
I told him that I thought maybe that's what it was. And by that time, they dropped me off the hospital. But I tried to tell him. And
they dropped you off at the hospital where?
At the Desert Center Hospital, because they'd beaten me so badly. I needed to go to the emergency room.
You were beaten by more than one guy?
Yes, sir.
And what about the wife?
Well, they're not going to beat her up, but she has sexomnia.
No, I know she had sexomnia. You had sexomnia, too. But she didn't get beaten up. Why?
She says she was totally... She didn't know about it. And then when I went to UCLA and they told me I had sexomnia, then she said, that's what I got, too. And so...
So she got away scot-free. You got the crap kicked out of you. She comes in, she's on her hands and knees when the husband walks in, and she had sexomnia.
Well, you have to understand this, Henry. The sexomnia is you're having sex, but you don't know it. And it's very rare that two people with testosterone have it at the same time. But, yes, it did happen.
Well, you know, a lot of this sounds pretty kooky to me, man. You're claiming you were asleep. You're with your best friend's wife. She's claiming she's asleep. She's on her hands and knees. You know, they beat you half to death and drop you off at the emergency center. Did they all go back to L.A.?
Yeah, they're on their way out of town. They dropped me off.
How'd you get back to L.A.?
I hitchhiked.
You know, this is a medical segment, bud.
I know, but the guy had sexomnia. That's what he said.
I told that one guy I had sexomnia. But I don't, you know.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much for your story.
Do you guys pay for these interviews, or do you...
877, you tell them we paid?
I told them there may be a stipend.
Well, guess what? No, there ain't. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Jack Armstrong coming up to talk about Obama and Bush, plus the top 10 macho movies ever, or in the world, or in the last week, something like that. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.